The Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of today's special, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on the commemoration of Nowruz. That's the Iranian New Year. Today, Friday, is the 20th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Al-Fatiha.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds.
الرحمن الرحيم.
The entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
مالك يوم الدين.
Sovereign of the day of recompense.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
It is you we worship and you we ask for help.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
Guide us to the straight path.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The path of those upon whom you have bestowed favor, not of those who have evoked your anger or of those who are astray.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is a custom among most people of the world to recite the name of one of their great and very beloved personalities that the worthiness of their work might be elevated. That is, they relate that work to that personality from the very beginning of their endeavor. Among all beings, the one who is eternal is only Allah, and therefore everything and every activity should begin with His holy name. It should be enveloped in His light, and help should be always asked only from Him. Nowruz, not just a celebration, but a symbol of hope. When Iranians want to congratulate the new year to each other, they say Nowruz Mubarak, which means Happy Nowruz. And when you say this to someone, there is always a smile on person's face, as if a light shines in their eyes and glitters on their lips. It is the light of hope, warmth, growth, and prosperity that shone thousands of years ago when the sun poured its rays on the Iranians and lighted up the whole world and sent a message still going strong to the extent that the United Nations also acknowledges, let there be peace, let there be light, and let there be happiness and love.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about Nowruz. What's important is that Nowruz in itself is good. I mean, it's quite acceptable. However, ancient Nowruz doesn't carry good meanings because of the ancient Nowruz, as it used to be practiced, it used to be highlighted, I mean, it was associated with cruelty of the kings, I mean, pre-Islamic kings. And those people used to celebrate some other things, mostly associated with paganism. For example, it used to be, I mean, there used to be certain other national feasts throughout the year, such as, for example, Mehregan. Mehr means, Mehr is the first month of autumn, and Mehregan was the feast held in the beginning of autumn each year. Ukhar Khordadgan. Khordad is the third month of the Persian solar calendar, and Khordad is the last month of spring, which leads to summer. Well, there used to be some other, I mean, certain other feasts, I mean, throughout the year for ancient non-Muslim Persians. But almost all of them have been abominated, I mean, put aside in the Islamic Persia and Islamic Iran. Now we find that Nowruz has become very important in the sense that, for example, such a shrine city like Mashhad and Qom receive the highest number of pilgrims and visitors on Nowruz, because these two cities are most important shrine cities in Iran. That's quite a large number of people prefer to take trips to such a city like Mashhad or Qom on the first day of the new year shows that they certainly want to associate the beginning, the starting of the new year with religious values and religious practices, Islamic religious practices.
O Allah, the new year has begun. You are the eternal master. I ask you to make available to me its good and benefits, which are in it. I seek refuge with you from its evil and the disadvantages which are in it. I request you to let me procure the provisions I need and discharge the activities I take up in this year.
In Islam, in Mafatihul Jinan, we read the prayer of Nowruz is a prayer combined of recitation of chapters Al-Fatiha, Al-Qadr, Al-Kafirun, Al-Tawheed, Al-Falaq, Al-Nas, and many other chapters of the Holy Quran. It is similar to a prayer which is not only has the forms of Friday prayer but also the attributes of the prayers of Qadir Khum. As we can see, the rituals of Nowruz is the same as rituals for any other Islamic Eids, of which its supplication starts with offering salutations to the Messenger of Allah and his progeny and all the messengers of Allah. Nowruz has always been celebrated by Iranians. Its customs, despite the thousands of years, has never been demolished or forgotten. Nowruz has been a festivity celebrated by all the tribes, ethnic groups, or religions that existed and live in the Iranian plateau for centuries, and today many other countries influenced by the culture. IRIB English Radio presents today's special and Nowruz customs. The last Nowruz tradition held before Nowruz setting up the special table. In different countries in which Nowruz is celebrated, the components of this table differ. In Iran, it is called Haftzin, as the seven components start with the consonant S, or sin in Persian language. They are sabze, the plate of the green wheat grown previously by the family members or purchased from the market, senjet, sea buckthorn, samanu, also made previously or purchased from bazaars, seke, or coin, sieb or apple, sir or garlic, and sirke or vinegar. They all connote themes and meanings and stands for prosperity, health, wealth, growth, or togetherness. Also, boiled eggs are painted and then added to the table as a decoration.
Nowruz is the name of the Persian New Year and marks the first day of spring. It has been celebrated for more than 3,000 years, not only in Iran, but in other countries as well. Celebrating Nowruz has become so widespread that in 2010, United Nations General Assembly recognized the International Day of Nowruz. So what does Nowruz mean? The word Nowruz is a Persian compound word consisting of two words. No meaning new and Ruz meaning day. Nowruz therefore means that a new day has begun, signaling the beginning of the new year. Interestingly, despite its popularity around the world, there's little agreement on the correct spelling of Nowruz, and numerous variations exist. As their most important national holiday, a typical Iranian family usually prepares for Nowruz a couple of weeks in advance. They start with a tradition called Khune Tekuni, which literally means shaking the house. Many spend days and days cleaning every spot of their home before the beginning of the new year. Traditionally, Iranians start the celebration at the exact time that Nowruz arrives. It doesn't matter if it is midnight, 2 p.m. in the afternoon, or 4 a.m. in the morning. They dress up in their new clothes and gather around the Haftzin table. Then they wait for the exact moment of the spring arrival. Many visit their closest family members right after the arrival of Nowruz.
Dear brothers and sisters, we are in Nowruz time, the new year, the celebration of New Year. So every day, be with us, be with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
يا محول الحول والأحوال حول حالنا
حول حالنا
حول حالنا
حول حالنا
إلى أحسن الحال
حول حالنا
حول حالنا
حول حالنا
إلى أحسن
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. A wise man first thinks and then speaks. A fool speaks first and then thinks.
Thank you. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. No more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing on what was mentioned previously, when the companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam came to him and asked him about, Imam, what are you talking about when you mention the army of the intellect and the army of the ignorant, or the army of ignorance? And the Imam then continues, obviously we know that this was happened in a discussion of the Shia and the devotees and probably the close students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that such a topic could even come to the fore. So the Imam now is speaking to a specific group of individuals here. A group of individuals who the Imam knows may have the ability to understand what he is about to say. So obviously the companion then tells the Imam that we do not know anything except what you have taught us when it comes to the intellect. So the Imam explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the intellect, which was the first of the immaterial creatures. And we don't want to get into the discussion of what does immaterial mean. But it's a philosophical discussion. We have two types of beings, one that is immaterial, one is material. For example, we as human beings have both. We have an immaterial soul and a material body. Immaterial meaning something that is not physical. It is in contrast to that which is physical or material. In a very, very brief sense of the word. There's a lot of discussion on it. Inshallah, those who are into philosophy and the philosophy teachers, and those who wish to know more may refer to the books of philosophy in this regard. And then the Imam continues and says, okay, this intellect which has been created in material is created out of light in a place of honor on the right side of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is beautiful. The Imam compares the intellect, rather than compare it, he says the intellect is created from light. Meaning that the intellect is that particular thing which guides you, which enables you to see guidance. Like any, what does light do? Light makes things apparent for you. It itself is apparent, and it makes other things apparent. So here, for example, the intellect is an apparent creature, according to what the Imam is saying. And it is that particular being, if you look at it in this tradition, that enables you to see the path. It enables you to see guidance. It enables you to see truth. And the Imam then says, it's from the right side of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, arsh does not mean a particular chair. No, it is a metaphor or a metonym to explain the domination and the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything. And the right side, because we know we do things that are of, you know, importance with our right hand, or things with our right side. This is just one of the akhlaqi things of on the right. For example, those who enter into paradise will be given the books of deeds in their right hand. So here, the concept of the right side of the throne just emphasizes a noble place for where the intellect came from. Inshallah, in continuing, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord,
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, brother Habib. Thank you very much for coming over.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
All right, we are on chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary, and we arrive on verse 24. But just to have the context, let's listen to verses 23 of this chapter onwards, and we'll be back to discuss these verses with Brother Habib. Stay tuned.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She said, "Oh, I wish I had died before this and was in oblivion, forgotten." But he called her from below her, "Do not grieve. Your Lord has provided beneath you a stream." And shake toward you the trunk of the palm tree. It will drop upon you ripe, fresh dates.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verses 23 onwards from chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary. So we asked this question last session as well on chapter 24, but I think we need more explanation about it. The verse reads that thereupon he called her from below her, "Do not grieve. Your Lord has made a spring to flow at your feet." Now, one explanation that you gave last program was that this might not necessarily have been a speech. It could have been an inspiration to Lady Mary that there is water there. It could have also been that God subhanahu wa ta'ala produced a sound. Are there any other possibilities?
There is also this possibility, which can be very deep and meaningful, and that is, it was Jesus who was talking to her. The baby in her stomach who was slowly getting, exiting her. I think that there could be a more deep, meaningful explanation as well. It could be a very deep, if we accept it, actually. And that is, it was Jesus who was talking to her. And that really goes back to this factor that, like how we stated, she was embarrassed and shy about her reputation being scratched or hurt, not only scratched, broken, for God's sakes. And thus, when she saw the baby talking, it was a very big sign of relief that, look at this miracle, this baby could talk. And therefore, when I go to those people, they will what? They will believe me because the baby's going to talk. And therefore, my reputation will not get hurt. And it was Jesus telling her, for example, that don't be in fear, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put water. Look at the water. There was a water, like how the verse states, and shake the tree trunk, and it will what? Give you holy dates.
And on the next verse, it actually says that, shake the trunk of the palm tree, freshly picked dates will drop upon you. Is this, in addition to the literal meaning, which is basically Mary shakes the tree and then there are some dates falling down, is there any symbolic meaning to this verse as well?
Usually dates don't fall like that. You know, have you seen how they, you know, tie themselves and they go? I've actually done it. It's very nice. Yeah, with my heavy, you know, I'm kind of a big guy, but, you know, I reached, it was possible to reach. Anyway, it's not very easy to actually even shake a palm tree, first of all, because, you know, it's big, right? And shaking it, even if you shake it, who says the dates are going to fall? So that's also one of the miracles. Like, it's, if you want, you know how like you shake the bell to call the servant, shake the tree, and while shaking the tree, these dates will fall upon you.
I've also seen like some people saying that it's symbolic of John when his wife was barren and he was given children. And this was also a tree that can be symbolized as something barren that's not supposed to produce fruits, but by God's mercy, it did produce fruits. Anything you might have seen?
It could
that?
Be understandable by reflecting from the holy verses, yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, just, these are reflections we could take, but the final and, you know, conclusion sometimes is very difficult to reach.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily interpretation. These are, you know, reflecting that we're trying
to
make.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Let's take a short break now, and we'll be back after the break.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary, and this is verse 25. So Mary is going under labor. And she's going through labor. And God offers her dates and water. And I wonder if dates and water are sufficient for someone who's going through labor.
It is very sufficient, actually. And, you know, the people in the West are kind of, you know, they're losing out on dates. And as Arabs living in dates, it's either chocolate or dates. Seriously, for me, my life is either chocolate or dates. There has to be one of the two. And, you know, I don't eat like one or two or three like you, Hussein. Right? I eat like
a whole bunch.
Like 20, 25. Yes. So dates are very useful for a woman in labor. And my personal experience with my wife. And she couldn't eat any food with any spices So it was either that, and you know, you want that extra taste and that sweetness, and where you get it from, you take it from the dates. Not only that, but they're very nutritious. And we're not emphasize, we don't have to emphasize it. Just go ahead and try it yourself. And I've literally seen, you know, literally tried it. For example, when fasting during the months of Ramadan, I reach to this point where, like, I'm so hungry, my head starts hurting. But then when I eat dates, I get that energy level back up. And this is, like, my personal experience. Other than that, you could go ahead and research it yourself, try it out yourself. They're also very delicious. There's also sayings about it, that the woman, when she enters her month of labor, she should eat more dates. It eases the baby. It also gives the baby strength. And especially the woman that is giving...
breast milk?
Yeah, she's giving breast milk the first couple of days actually to actually eat.
All right, so before we go to the break, a final thing which I've also read on this verse is that it symbolizes when Mary was in her solitary prayer room. Back when she was in the city, and she would receive food from heaven. Would you say that it might also symbolize that event?
It could be a symbolize, yeah. And she's used to, you know, eating from the heavens and, you know, eating from a miracle way. Yeah.
All right, thanks. We're going to take a break now. After the break, we'll be back for further discussions on these verses. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter 19, chapter Mary, and we're moving on to verse 26 of this chapter. It reads, "Eat, drink, and be comforted. Then if you see any human, say, indeed I have vowed a fast to the All-Beneficent, so I will not speak to any human today." To begin with, is this verse an elaborate display by God that he will support Mary throughout her endeavor?
Yes, like how we stated, the woman that goes through labor goes not only to physical pain, but emotional pain as well. And I've heard stories, actually, from my family members that are, you know, funny, too funny to bring up on the radio. But at the end of the day, here we see with these short words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is signing to us that he was not only helping her physically, you know, like physical help for her, physical for her. Allah is not a physical, materialistic thing, of course. And also emotionally. And the way فَكُلِّ وَشْرَبِي وَقُرِّ عَيْنَا, you know, we have that you know, in Arabic, قُرْ عَيْنَك. We state that to someone, we're like, we're helping, and that, like, don't worry, let your eyes be, you know, in peace. When we say that, let your eyes be in peace, that means you're not going to cry. You're going to be so happy that your eyes are in peace, you know, that your eyes are going to glow. And we say that a lot in Arabic. And it comes from, you know, comforting the other person. That's just a sign of how that Allah was comforting her.
This Qura'ina also appears in chapter 20, verse 40 as well. When Moses' mother receives Moses temporarily to nurse him. And again, yeah, the Quran says, تَقَرَّعَيْنُهَا.
Yeah.
And so they're both giving them comfort in times, yes, of a lot of distress.
Distress, yes.
It's very actually comforting to think that, yeah, God would give you comfort like that. It's a really special feeling, I guess.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And there's the story about Moses asking about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this really goes back to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we understand it from theology. But there's just like an example. Give an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that if you want to see my mercy, it's like a drop in an ocean to how a mother reacts with her baby. Look at the baby. All he does is poop and eat and cry. That's all he does. Still, what is the most precious thing in your life, Ya Hussein? Tell me. It's your baby. And even though he only poops, cries, and, you know, pretty sure that he also, you know, only eats, and, you know, just, if it wasn't for that mercy puts, that's just one drop of an ocean of Allah's mercy puts in human beings. With all that mercy, see how much we care about. It's the most precious thing, the most precious creation. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. And this really helps you where, at the time of your death, where there's this hadith al-Qudsi, or, you know, holy narration, states
that when a believer is dying by himself, he looks to the right, he looks to the left, he sees no one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, why are you looking left and right? I am your creator. I am your creator. I am your Lord. Look at me. Come to me. I am more merciful than any of my other creations. And that really just, you know, assures you. Of course, Allah, I always state this. They ask me, how are you? I tell them, well, one of my friends asked me, how is Allah with you? I said, Allah is good with me, but I am bad with him. Really, we really are like that. This is our situation. Allah is good with us, but we are bad with him. If we at least do good, it's not going to, you know, be enough. He's our creator. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his mercy.
Thank you. And I'd like to add something to that. That was very beautiful by Brother Habib. It is true that really translations cannot transfer the depth of words.
We'll talk about that on the next show, inshallah.
Yeah, and because when you were talking about Qurrat Ayn, it's a whole different level than be comforted. It's been translated as be comforted. It's much more deeper. Yeah. It makes much more sense. And it produces a much stronger connection between God subhanahu wa ta'ala and his creation. So God is saying, وَقَرَّعَيْنَا, it's much more than just be comforted. Thank you, Brother Habib, for that very, very, very nice discussion. And thanks to all our listeners for being with us. If you missed the program, don't worry, you can always download an archive of this episode and our next episodes. And actually, I advise you to download this one, especially the last part, which was about God's mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Till next week, and a lot of contemplation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's a hadith Imam al-Baqir salamullahi alayhi addresses Jabir al-Ju'fi, Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, a great companion of Imam al-Baqir. He tells him, do you think it's sufficient to love the Ahlul Bayt in order to be a Shia? And then he continues, it's a long hadith, it's an interesting one in many ways, and great reminders in it. Then he has this one line there. He says, well, if it's about love, then if somebody loves the Prophet and they only love him, is that sufficient? If the person loves the Prophet but they don't follow the Prophet, what's that going to do for them? It's not going to do anything for them. If you identify, the Imam is trying to get this across, if you identify as Shia, and that simply means, oh, I understand Imam al-Baqir is the Imam. Is that enough? You identify Imam al-Baqir as the Imam, okay. Well, what's next? He is the Imam, that means you have identified, you need to follow him, and figure out what you need to do. What is he saying? What is the guidance that he's providing? Go figure that out. Rest when we come to know, oh, okay, so the Imam of our time is Imam al-Baqir. That's not sufficient. That's now the beginning of the struggle to make sure I figure out exactly what he's saying. He is leading. The imams, they are leading. They did lead throughout their time. It's my responsibility to go figure out what that direction is and follow it. Just identifying, it's like finding, oh, he's shedding light. Then I'm like, okay, just go back to sleep. No, wake up. If he's shedding light, showing the path, look, where is that? Start walking that path behind the imam. Otherwise, you'll fall asleep and the imam will move forward and you're just dreaming about the imam being a great person and your imam. You're not with him. Those who think that they are following the representative of the 12th imam, if that's clear to them that he is the representative of the 12th imam, what does that mean? That person is providing guidance. He's showing as the 12th imam has guided him and is guiding him. He's showing the path. Is it just enough to say, talk about Wilayatul Faqih, Adla Khamenei, mention, throw out those names and so yeah, we believe in this. What does that mean? Just fighting each other about, is he Waliul Faqih, is not Waliul Faqih? Well, whatever. If you have clarity that that is the representative of the 12th imam, what are you doing about that? Are you following the guidance there? It's not a matter of dispute. The same way the belief in the Ahlul Bayt is not a matter of discussion and debate and dispute. It's not about debating, oh, I'm on this side, there's others who disbelieve in this. Constantly arguing why this, why that. If you're clear this is right, get on with it, move on. If they are clear on what they're doing, let them move on. Every now and then you want to have a discussion, something comes up, fine. But our whole mentality of tashayyu is that I need to prove those who don't believe in the Ahlul Bayt of the Muslims, I need to prove them wrong. That's not what tashayyu is. That's not what being a Shia is. If you're clear they are your imams, try to figure out what following them means. If it's clear that you have a living imam, the 12th imam, try to figure out what following him means today. If now on something that is the next step after we've figured out that there is a 12th imam who is alive, in order to identify what he's saying, he has said during his minor occultation, that during the major occultation, go to the ulama with these qualifications, and that is represented in one person today. If that's clear to you, don't make that a subject of discussion and debate all the time, and the whole thing about it is, do you believe in Walat al-Faqih? Do you not believe? This guy is in this camp, that guy is in that. And look, let whoever do what's clear to them. Just say, whatever you're clear with, move forward, all right? Let's not debate this. Those who are clear about this, what does this mean? If you have identified that following his representative is following him, which it is, that's just what representation means, actual representation, and based on the words of the imam, this is actual representation, then go to the next step, the next stage of advancement towards the imam of our time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. There are people that have advanced in this way. They have moved forward. There are those that the Prophet has mentioned, tuba lahum. Great tidings to these people. In another hadith, he has referred to such people as, these are my ashab, I wish I would see them right now. During his time, the Prophet said, there are some people that are like that. They have made that progress towards Allah. They are seeing the light that the 12th imam is shedding as the imam. They're seeing that light. Hopefully, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us, brothers and sisters. We have multitudes of hadith, and I'm sure we've all heard this. One of the problems we have is that we think it applies to everyone else and not to us. These are the times of confusion. We consider everybody else confused, and we know exactly what everything is. We don't even think for a second, maybe we are part of the confused bunch of people. at least partially, it's not either you're confused or not. You may be clear on one matter, but you're confused on another matter. If you clear something up, move on to the next issue. Get more clarity. These are times of confusion. People are lost. God forbid, maybe you and I are lost. We need to take the time that God has given us, reflect. Keep checking. The more you check the truth, the clearer it becomes. It's not like batil. You check it a second time, you start having doubts. Third time, it becomes clear to you that it's batil, but then you keep going at it because you don't want to admit that you were wrong. That's what batil is. That's what falsehood is. The truth, you go to it a second time, it becomes more clear. Third time, even more clear. Fourth time, even more clear. Fifth time, another dimension starts opening up. And so on and so forth. Look in. Are we doing things based on what is actually there? And hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with that. And we ask Him, Ya sahib al-zaman, Ya maulana, Ruhi wa arwahuna laka al-fida. We ask you by the rights of your mother to forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive me for all the disobediences, neglects that constantly and frequently and throughout my life I've had towards you, and I have not even acknowledged most of my life your presence and your leadership and the necessity of me following you, and therefore we have been so disobedient that I have not even acknowledged that, much less to move forward. We ask you to forgive us by the right of your mother, by the right of your grandfather, Imam al-Hussein.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareemun Azim Ali حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
lecture.
Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. The view from within, an analysis of the self, has been an ongoing topic. Tonight is lecture number 6. We have up until now established the importance of knowing yourself and knowing the I inside of me. We talked about the fact that we spent the first 3 lectures of this series establishing the idea that the I inside of me, the me, the self inside of me, is that vehicle, is that wasila to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like you would check and you would get to know the car you would take across a cross-country ride, same idea. The higher the destination, the longer the journey, the more you would check the vehicle out. And so naturally, we also have to understand ourselves if we in fact are that wasila to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we talked about the idea of the actualization, bilquwa to bilfi'il, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw this potential, this johar, this jewel inside of us that really was hidden from other creations. And we get that from tafsir when they discuss that conversation between the angels and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from now until the end, we will look at these practical steps on how to either avoid the self from destroying or using those tools to build up the self. We talked about tahliya and tahliya being those 2 initial stages of self-refinement. And we define tahliya to be that process of pulling what? Pulling the weeds out before you actually plant your vegetable garden or you plant your rose garden. It's important that you first remove the obstacles of growth and then attempt to grow. You first remove the obstacles of flourishment and then you flourish. So equally, if we wish to now use these nights to grow towards Allah, we have to identify the weeds inside of our garden and attempt now to pull those out, at least address them, and then begin the growing and planting process. And we began with weed number 1 being what? Negativity, pessimism, being pessimistic, suizan, as I referred to it. And we talked about that, how sometimes, you know, that individual who is suspicious and negative about everybody, that negativity turns inward. And you become suspicious and negative about your ability to get to Allah. And then the highest level of suizan, the most dangerous level, is the fact that we begin to become suspicious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't want to see me happy, doesn't want to see me grow, doesn't want to give me what he's given others. And that becomes a very dangerous